You've been watching the classes for the last few months?
You're lying.
All right, my friends. So this is our return to Masechet Shabbos to learn the sugya of Matan Torah. We haven't been here for like a year or so. So, but before we get into the meat of the Gemara, I want to refresh your memory as to what the big question is, and maybe share a little bit of insight about this very subject from our Rebbe, and then we'll go on to the Gemara itself. So the Gemara told us earlier that Likuli Alma, everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbat. Kuli Alma, the Shabbat, Nitna, Torah, LiYisrael. Everybody agrees the Torah was given on Shabbat to the Jewish people. The Gemara said that on page 86. We're now almost turning the page onto page 88 already. So this is a bit of Talmud back. And then there's a discussion about a dispute between the Chachamim, the sages, and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says that the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan. And the Chachamim say it was given on the sixth day of Sivan. So everybody agrees it was the same day of the week, but not everybody agrees it was the same day of the month. We have these two schools of thought. And the Gemara has spent a lot of time trying to prove the date. So I call tonight's class A Date with the Talmud. We're trying to figure out the date. How could it work according to Rabbi Yossi? And then the Gemara parlays back. No, it could work according to Rabbi Yossi. How could it work according to the opinion of the Chachamim? And we keep going back and forth. The Gemara really will never resolve this, but the Gemara is going to seem to cross-examine this relentlessly to ascertain whether or not we can be certain, whether we can try to prove that one or the other school of thought is factually correct. So what's the whole discussion about? The whole discussion is about the date of Matan Torah, and the one thing everybody agrees on is Matan Torah was given on Shabbos. So the Rebbe once talked about this idea, and he said, what is the connection between Shabbat and Matan Torah? Sixth day of Sivan, or not the sixth day of Sivan, maybe the seventh day of Sivan, but Matan Torah was Shabbat, no question about that. So the Rebbe said, here is a possible suggestion. When we talk about Shabbat, there is a word, a noun, that's attached to Shabbat. What would that noun be? It's actually a descriptive noun. It's a noun, but it's used to describe. So it's like a noun used as an adjective. We say, Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. Shabbos comes with Menucha. That's the way to describe Shabbos. Shabbos is about peace and serenity. And there's actually a very famous Medrash, and a Gemara, which Rashi quotes numerous times. It says, Ma ha-hoya ha-olam chaser? What was the world missing? And the answer is Menucha, peace. Everything but peace. Ba Shabbos, ba Menucha. In our addition to the Birchat HaMazon, we say Harachaman, Huyan Chileno, Liyom, Shekulo Shabbat, Umenucha, Lachaye Ha'olamim. In other words, when we want to pray for the cosmic Shabbat, which is the era of Mashiach, we talk about Yom Shekulo Shabbat Umenucha, emphasis on Menucha. And this is even more emphasized when it comes to Mincha, Shabbat afternoon, where we say Yom Menucha. We call Shabbat a day of rest. And we say it's Menuchat Shalom, Menucha Shleima, Sha'at Rotzeba. And that's the climax of Shabbos. The highest level of Shabbat is Mincha, because Shabbat builds the holiness of the holiest day of the week, continues to wax and to grow. And the holiest moment, it's Mincha and post-Mincha, and there we emphasize the concept of Menucha. So in other words, what did Shabbat bring to a world that was aching? It brought peace. The world was aching for peace, and not much has changed in 5,770 years. The world still aches for peace, and Shabbat brings peace to the world. Well, guess what? Matan Torah is connected to, let's call, the ultimate or fruition of creation. Like it says, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom HaShishi. In many communities, they begin the Kiddush on Friday night like that. They say Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker. Our Nusach is, we begin with Yom HaShishi. And why does it say HaShishi? The He is like a V. The sixth. What's the sixth? So we have a Maimer Chazal. We have a teaching of our sages. And it's actually something we learned. We're going to learn a little while. So we're going to get to this on the next page. It says Yom HaShishi is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with creation. And he said like this. Im Yisrael Mekablim HaTorah. If the Jewish people will accept the Torah, so then atem mitkaimim, then the world has purpose, then the world can exist. Vim lav, but if the Jewish people won't accept the Torah, ani machzer etchem, I then are going to return you l'tohu v'vo to the primordial state of chaos before creation was brought into existence. In other words, that the concept of the world's state of chaos or lack of menucha is only brought to fruition by Yom HaShishi, which follows the opinion of the Chachamim, that it was the sixth day of Sivan. And that's, as it says in the book of Tehillim in Psalm 76, it says, Eretz Yara Vishakata. And the Gemara will tell us soon that Betchila Yara, in the beginning the world trembled, and then in the end, which refers to Matan Torah, Shakata, then it became quiet, then it became calm, or serene and peaceful. So when we say that everybody agrees that the Torah was given to us on Shabbat, what we're trying to say is that just like Shabbat is unique in that it brings menucha, so too also the concept of Torah also brings menucha. The obvious question, of course, is where do we see the menucha in the Torah? Why does Torah bring menucha necessarily? Why does it bring peace? So the Rebbe says, if you think about it, the vicissitude of time, the passage of time, is the opposite of menucha. As time stands still for no one. And time is a reflection of the movement of the heavenly bodies, which continue to oscillate with tremendous, tremendous speeds. Tremendous accelerating speeds. And the nature of time is doesn't stand still even for a nanosecond. Time is always moving. And what's menucha? Menucha is the exact opposite of the movement of time. Menucha is, okay, please, just slick it. Let me just stop this for a little while. I can't take the pace anymore. I need to slow down. I want to have a total cessation, a total stoppage. It's like we want it to stop. So the idea of menucha and the idea of time are actually, if you think about it, they're oxymoronic in nature. And the concept then is that within the framework of time that moves, we should still be able to find something which doesn't change. So, in other words, within all of the transformation that we live with, there should be something which is solid. Now tell me, what is that? What is the one thing that's solid that doesn't change regardless of what's changing around us? Hashem Echad and our Yiddishkeit. When a person has clarity with regard to their mission, they know what they're doing here. So would you think that puts you in a state of menucha, in a state of peace? Or do you think that puts you in a state of chaos?
Depends how much you've accomplished.
Understood. You might not be so happy if you know what you're supposed to accomplish, but you're not accomplishing it. But when a person has clarity about life, invariably, this necessarily brings a sense of peace. How many times have I had to help families through some of the most trying, difficult moments, life and death questions? And it's almost verbatim. Once a family comes to a resolution where they know what they're going to do, regardless of how difficult the circumstances, they almost always they thank me just for giving them the peace of mind of knowing they did the right thing. That this is what we're supposed to do. At least now we know what we're supposed to do. This is how it's supposed to go. Okay, like because there's this notion of confusion and darkness, which is very chaos-like, and you don't know what to do. And what does Torah give us? Torah gives us clarity. When a Yid has a Torah Weltanschauung, a perspective on life that's rooted specifically in the teachings of the Torah, which do not change, which are eternal, invariably that brings us to an inner sense of menucha. And therefore, the Rebbe suggested, that's why Kula Alma, everybody agrees that B'Shabbat Nitna Torah LiYisrael. Shabbat is the concept of menucha. The Torah brings us a sense of menucha, a sense of peace. And that's why about the day of the week there's no question. But the day of the month, okay, the argument, as they say, rages on. So with that little preface to today's Gemara, let's go back into the actual thick of things. Page Pei Zayin. It's the large folio page of the Talmud. Okay, page 87, side 2, and we're just about halfway down. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Toshma is a typical way the Gemara introduces its method of argument. The Gemara is going to try to prove something. So it's like saying to a person, listen here. Toshma. It's the typical way we know what's getting introduced now. There's going to be compelling proof proffered. Rav Papa begins now to quote the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, where the Jewish people are now, they're in their journeys. In their journey, they left Mitzrayim, and you know, things start getting a little rocky. They made it through the Reed Sea, and that was a beautiful moment. And everybody sang a song of praise. Everybody's very happy. And then they started fighting, and got all kinds of issues. So the Torah says, Vayisu me Elim. They went, they set forth from Elim, Vayovayu kol Adas b'nei Yisrael. The entire congregation of the children of Israel came. Where did they come to? You look in the Chumash, you see they came to what's called Midbar Sin, which has nothing to do with Averis, right? So they came to Midbar Sin. And B'chamisha Asar Yoim, on the 15th day, L'chodesh Hasheni, of the second month. What month is the second month?
Iyar,
very good. So this is exactly a month after they left Mitzrayim. They left Egypt on the morning of the 15th of Nisan, and this is exactly 30 days later, or we would argue is 30 days later, the 15th day of Iyar, the second month. And what happened? So on that day, we say, Va'oto Hayom Shabbat Haya. The 15th day was Shabbat. How do we know it was Shabbat? How can we know with certainty? Okay, so let's make a simple calculation. This calculation is actually important for us to get straight now, not later. A week is 7 days. 2 weeks is 14 days. 3 weeks is 21 days. 4 weeks is 28 days. Okay. How many days is a month?
Depends
which ones. But let's say, for argument's sake, 30 days a month. Okay. So if the 15th day of Nisan would be on Thursday, when would the 15th day of Iyar be on?
How many days are in
Nisan? Let's go with 30 for now. Which day would it be?
Take three off.
So which day would that be?
Wednesday.
No. 15th day of Nisan is on Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday?
It's the next month. So we're adding 4 weeks
plus 3 days.
It's 28 days, because 30 days. So what day do we end up on?
Sunday.
But here's the problem. The problem is, we know for a fact that the 15th day of the month was Shabbos. How do we know that? Well, we know that day was Shabbos because that was the day that the Jewish people began to kvetch about their hunger. They said, we're very hungry. We need food right now. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, relax. Tomorrow morning you'll have your answer. Everything's going to work out. Uva boiker in the morning, it says, Uri'isim es kveid Hashem. You'll see the glory of God who hears your complaints. So what happened in the morning? They saw God's presence, and then what happened? They weren't hungry anymore?
Well, there was the man, but they
There was the man. They could collect the man in the first day. It was no problem. So when did the man come?
Sunday.
The man presumably comes on Sunday. So if the man presumably comes on Sunday, so then that would make kind of sense, because 6 days later, it's written that Moshe said to them, Sheshes Yomim Tilkatu. For 6 days, you're going to collect the manna. What happened on the seventh day? It says, on the seventh day, you're not going to collect manna. Why? Because it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry in a public domain. So on Shabbos, they couldn't go collect the manna. So now, 1 second. If the man fell for 6 days, and on the seventh day was Shabbos, then what's the first day of the manna falling?
Sunday.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is 6 days. Shabbos is the seventh day. Okay. So Rav Papa asks, so if so, Umi de Chameser, since the 15th Be'ir, Shabbato, since the 15th day of Iyar was on Shabbos, so now Resh Yarcha the Sivan, when is Rosh Chodesh Sivan going to be? 15 days later. A week is 14 days. 15 days later, if the 15th day was on Shabbat, 15 days later is going to be when?
Sunday.
It's a little problem, isn't it? Why is it a problem? Because the Chachamim say that the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. And we established that everybody agrees the Torah was given on Shabbat. But if Sunday was Aleph B'Sivan, if Sunday was the first day of Sivan, which day is the sixth day of Sivan?
Shabbat.
No, Bubala. If Sunday is Yom Aleph, which day is the sixth day?
Friday.
That's a problem. According to the Chachamim, Rosh Chodesh has to be on Monday. And only if Rosh Chodesh is Monday can 6 days later be Shabbat. But Rav Papa just proved to you that the 15th day was on Shabbos. And the next morning, the manna fell. And 6 days later, Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is the last day it's falling. Tomorrow it won't fall. So if the 15th day was Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh 15 days later would have to be on Sunday. The problem is, we need Rosh Chodesh to be on Monday. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, this is fabulous. This works great. Because if Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, 7 days later is Shabbat. That's perfect. He holds the Torah was given on the seventh day. So this question Rav Papa is posing is according to the majority opinion of the sages. How could you say that the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan? And we say that day was Shabbat. How could you say that? If Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, the sixth day of Sivan would necessarily be what day of the week? Friday. Why is everybody so perplexed? This is very simple. Simple numbers. That's why Hashem created coffee. Come on, like this. What's going on with you guys? Do you want me to repeat that again? Do you want me to repeat it? Okay, we're going to do that. Okay. From the beginning? Everybody agrees the Torah was given on?
Shabbos.
Okay, good. So we have a dispute which day of the week it was? Yes. Sorry. Which date? Sixth or the seventh? Okay. Rav Papa says that if you read the verses right, the 15th day of Iyar had to be Shabbat. Why did the 15th day of Iyar have to be Shabbat? Because the next day the manna fell. And 6 days later, a double portion of manna fell. So which day of the week would that be? Friday.
21.
So if it falls on Friday, when is Rosh Chodesh? Think about it. You have now the 15th day of the 15th day of Iyar. The 15th day of Iyar is Shabbat. It has to be Shabbat. Because the manna falls on Friday, on Sunday. And then on Friday, we have an issue. If the sixth day there was an issue, we know for sure that the first day it fell was on Sunday. So the 15th day was when? Because Moshe says, Boiker, in the morning you'll see V'yeda Alechem Kveid Hashem. So the 15th day was necessarily on Shabbat. So if the 15th day is Shabbat, count 15 days. 15 days after Shabbat is what day of the week? Sunday. In other words, Rosh Chodesh was Sunday. If Rosh Chodesh was Sunday, count 6 days, what day of the week do we have?
Friday.
But the Chachamim said that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Everybody says the Torah is given on Shabbos. So if everybody says the Torah is given on Shabbos, how is it possible? How is it possible for Rosh Chodesh to be on Sunday? But how is it not possible for Rosh Chodesh to be on Sunday when the 15th day was on Shabbat?
Is there 30 days in that month?
Yeah, let's say there is.
So then the first would be the following day.
So that's exactly what the Gemara answers. So the Gemara answers, Amru leit abanan, the rabbis say, we must say, ear, the hahi shata, ear of that year, iburi abruha, was a full month of 30 days, meaning Rosh Chodesh was on the 31st day. And because it was on the 31st day, Rosh Chodesh turns out to be on Monday. Now, I need you to understand something. And I think we went through this, but I'm going to go through it again because it's important. And it'll become even more important in the next piece of Gemara. The lunar orbit lasts for a little bit more than 29 and a half days. It's not exact. If it would be exactly 29 and a half days, then it would be very easy for us to maintain the months. Every other month would be 29-day month, a 30-day month. You borrow 12 hours, you gain 12 hours. You borrow 12 hours, you gain 12 hours. It will kind of work out. So what's the problem? And the moon is making its little orbits every 29 days. What's the problem? The problem is that we have a few extra hours, or chalakim. And because there's this extra time, if you keep making it 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, eventually you're going to start losing chunks of time. And after a few months, you will actually be a day off. Suddenly the moon will reappear on the 29th day of the month, and then on the 28th day of the month. And then you're really going to be in trouble. Then you go look at the Gregorian calendar. It's all over the place. But we're supposed to have a lunar calendar, so we have a problem. So what do? So we actually have a system where we have three methods in which our year, the way our calendar works, three methods in which our year could go. It could be where we have the maximum amount of months, which would be 30 days, which is called Shleiman. Bimiluan is when we have the maximum amount of 30 days. And then we have the possibility of Kisidran. Kisidran means which 1 month off, 1 month on, back and forth. And then there's Chaseidun. Then there are some years when actually we're missing. We have one day less. And in this way, we borrow hours and add hours, but we can never add hours. We always have to add days. So in the course of 19 years, it evens itself out. We are a few nanoseconds off, or whatever it is, how many seconds every 19 years. And those 19 years will keep adding up. All those seconds are adding up. Eventually, we're probably a few hours off by now. And the truth be told, that eventually we would have a problem. But we're absolutely certain Mashiach will be here before that's going to happen. And this calendar probably could last till Chad Chiruv anyway. But worst comes to worst, it would be a few hours off. You know, the Gregorian calendar needed a major overhaul. They had like one year they made a short month of 11 days to catch up because it doesn't match, right? And our calendar has never been adjusted. Our calendar is in motion for almost 18 centuries, never been adjusted. Now, so this is a whole art. And there was a famous dispute in the 10th century between Reb Sadia Gaon, between Ben Ezra. Ben Ezra lived in Yerushalayim. Reb Sadia was the great sage of Bavel. And Ben Ezra maintained that even though Reb Sadia was a greater sage than he, and even though Reb Sadia had more numbers and more scholars and pupils and students, but he said he was in Yerushalayim, so therefore he should have the upper hand. And there was a short amount of time that we had a real issue. Jews in Jerusalem were actually keeping Yom Kippur a different day. Big problem. Anyway, that's a story for a different night. In the end, Ben Ezra's Shita collapsed. The Rambam rules conclusively, and he's the final word. We followed Reb Sadia Gaon's Shita, and the calendar is as we have it. There's no questions, and that's how it goes. Now, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, we began to have a dynamic calendar, which lasted for many, many centuries. many centuries, all the way until after the second Beis HaMikdash, and then some, after the close of the Mishnah, where witnesses would come and they would say, we saw the new moon. And it could be it was cloudy days and people didn't see the new moon. Now, obviously we couldn't just wait for people to come and see the new moon, because eventually if there was a few cloudy months in a row, then during those days, it would be the biggest joke. All of a sudden, the Rosh Chodesh would start coming on the 26th day of the month or something. So they kept a very careful calculation, the sages. And there were plenty of months where there were no questions. They knew that this month has to be 30 days to catch up, or they knew that this month has to be 29 days to catch up. And they were always borrowing, and they were always very carefully calibrating the calendar. This was from the tribe of Yisachar, Yoidei Bina Le'itim. This was the great sages of Yisachar. They compiled many, many brilliant books and writings and manuscripts. Unfortunately, all of our manuscripts are lost. And the Rambam says the only thing we have left from antiquity is the manuscripts of the Greek astronomers. But the Rambam makes the calculations according to the Torah traditions, and he says the calculations work, and if they work, you go with it, and that's all. And the Rambam records it in a book of Halacha, and it's tired to know. Once the Rambam ratified this calculation is right, well, we had these Sfarim, unfortunately we lost these Sfarim. Now, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, it was dynamic. What does it mean, dynamic? Dynamic means it was possible that they would have made the month of Iyar 30 days. I should let you know the month of Iyar is never 30 days. In our calendar, the month of Iyar is always 29 days. Always. The month of Nisan is always 30 days. The month of Iyar is always 29 days. But that year, it seems, according to the opinion of the sages, the month of Iyar ended up being 30 days as well. And if it were to be 30 days, now the Gemara understands what could have happened. If it's 30 days, so that means 30 full days would have to pass, and when Rosh Chodesh would only be on the 31st day. If Rosh Chodesh would only be on the 31st day, so Rosh Chodesh is not Sunday, but Rosh Chodesh is Monday. 6 days later is Shabbat Kodesh, and that is the date of Matan Torah. Somebody get that? It's really kind of simple. No. Not simple.
The reason I can't see it is because
we're not in a planetarium. That's why you can't see it.
What's the relevance of the length of the month of
Iyar? It's enormous. Enormous with relevance.
Related to its beginning.
I'll tell you why it's relevant. It's enormously relevant because here we have a verse in the Torah which Rav Papa clearly identifies that the 15th day of Iyar is on Shabbat. If the 15th day of Iyar is on Shabbat, if Iyar is 29 days the way it is now, when is Rosh Chodesh?
Is it Nisan that's
Nisan is 30.
Iyar
No, okay.
Iyar ends after Matan Torah.
His question is not Nisan and the question is not Iyar. The question is, are the Chachamim right or is Rabbi Yossi right? That's the question. The question is, was the Torah given on the 6th day of Sivan or on the 7th day of Sivan? We don't know the answer to that question. That's the answer we're trying to figure out. So if we could conclusively prove that the calculation doesn't work according to the opinion of the sages, and the calculation does work according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, bingo, we solved the mystery. We had this dispute, we didn't know, now we know the answer. The problem is that the conclusive proofs are not being so conclusive. Because every time it seems we lodge a very powerful, clear, compelling proof, the Gemara repels it. And here Rav Papa put forward a very strong argument. He said, look, you have the 15th day of Shabbat. We know it's Shabbat because the next morning the manna falls. We know that the manna fell on the Sunday because on the 6th day they fell a double portion. And the next day was Shabbos. So if the 15th day is on Shabbat and the month is 29 days, finish counting 29 days, the 30th day is going to be Sunday. That's the next month. Well, if Sunday is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, count 6 days, what day of the week are you on? Friday. So Rabbi Yossi is right. So the Gemara says, no. Well, why not? The year is 29 days. So the Gemara says that our Rabbanu will tell you that year. It turned out that year was 30 days too. So now we have a reasonable argument to buttress Rabbi Yossi's opinion, but we also have we don't have a conclusive question on the sages because the sages' opinion can be defended. So where are we now? We are still in doubt. We have not yet discovered the exact day with certainty. It may be the 5th day, or 6th day, maybe the 7th day. You got that? Good. Let's go on to the next argument. You think the Gemara is going to give up now? No. So the Gemara comes now and says, The Gemara is going to ask a question, and this question is going to be a bomb of a question. Are they called the mother of all bombs? Why is this going to be the mother of all bombs? Because this question is not going to be able to support either opinion. So before, up until now, we're trying to prove one is right or the other is right. And now we're going to say nobody's right. Nobody's right. It can't be the seventh or the sixth. Well, how do you prove that? So the Gemara now is gonna go deep. You know, like how you have the wide receiver. So you go deep. You know, like a throw. It's gonna be a long throw. The Gemara now is not gonna do a 2-week calculation, a 30-day calculation. The Gemara is gonna go forward now an entire year. Now let me give you a little bit of information before we do this. I started to feed this to you before, this information, but now let me complete the information. A year that has lunar months, 12 lunar months, 6 of which are 29 days long, and 6 of which are 30 days long, which is called, in the parlance of Kiddush HaChodesh, Kisidron. Okay? Let's keep order. It's back and forth. Kisidron, 29, 30. 29, 30. So such a lunar month, such a lunar calendar, or 6 months of 29 days and 6 months of 30 days, how long is that going to be? How many days will that be?
354.
Exactly. There'll be 354 days. Now, 354 days, how many weeks does that turn out to be? The answer is 50 weeks and 4 days. You're sharp. You did that all by yourself. Wow. I wonder when you're not just woken up. Right. 50 weeks and 4 days. Which is why we have a rule that whenever Rosh Hashanah will come out, the next year Rosh Hashanah will always come out 4 days later. But that's not an absolute rule, because sometimes the year is in Kisidron. Sometimes the year could be B'miluon, or sometimes it could be Kechaseidon. But if it's Kisidron, then it will always be 4 days. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer lei Rav Chavivi. Rav Chavivi, who was Mechuzno, he was from the city of Mechuza, very famous city in Bavel. And he says like this, Toshma, he said to Ravashi. Ravashi is already the last generation of the sages who compiled the Talmud. Ravina and Ravashi are the final word on the Talmud. So this is a very late argument that was advanced in Mechuza to Ravashi. Rav Chavivi says, listen up, Toshma. It says, Vayehi b'chedesh harishein. It was on the first month. When we speak in scriptural parlance, the first month, especially when we're in the book of Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers, what are we talking about? What's the first month? Not Rosh Hashanah, Nisan. HaChodesh hazeh hu lachem reish chadashim. The first month is Nisan. And so the Torah now tells us that it was Vayihi b'chodesh harishon. And so it was then in the first month. Bashana hashenit, in the second year. Second year of what? The beginning of the second year of going out of Mitzrayim. Let me remind you what's happened in the last year. We went out of Mitzrayim. 7 days later, the sea split open. All our enemies drowned. And we began to go into the Sin Desert. And then we got hungry and we crouched. And then we had no water to drink. And God gave us manna. And then the way a plague got sweet in the waters. And then afterwards, we finally got our act together. We came to Sinai. We were really getting along. We came and unified. And then we got to Torah. Everything was fantastic. We were walking around with halos and glowing, and everything was great. And then,
did we mess up.
Boy, did we drop that football so hard. It had broken so many pieces. We made a stupid golden calf, and we worshipped an idol. And the rest is a disaster, right? And so it takes Moshe Rabbeinu another 40 days, and then another 40 days until he can finally bring us back a second set of luchas. So that's Yom Kippur. And after Yom Kippur, Mitzvah Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the largest, most successful appeal in Jewish history. Every rabbi wants to replicate it. Nobody gets close. Right? What was the appeal? Give me gold, give me silver, give me copper, skins, wools, woods, right? Build a Mishkan. 15 things, build a Mishkan. When was the Mishkan construction finished? This is a trick question. This nobody knows. The commandment was given...
Before Yom Kippur.
No, the commandment was given the day after Yom Kippur. Yud Aleph Tishrei. Couldn't work on Shabbos. Couldn't work on Sukkot. The Mishkan's work was finished the 25th day of Kislev. And the Jewish people said, now what? Moshe says, not now. Not yet.
It's Hanukkah.
Yeah, that's Hanukkah. So, by the way, that 25th day of Kislev was a little bit unhappy. And Hashem said, you'll have your day, don't worry. I put you away for a different time. And of course, on the 25th day, it was Chanukah HaMizbeach. And what we read in the Torah during Hanukkah? We read the consecration of the Mishkan. But when did the Mishkan actually get consecrated? When did it get put up? On the 23rd day of Adar. So a full 3 months later. Not a month later in Tevis. Not the second month of Shvat. The third month later, almost a full 3 months, minus 2 days, the 23rd day of Adar was put up. And then what happened that very same day was put up? It was taken down. And then it was put up again the next day. And then it was taken down. And this went on for 7 days. And then the eighth day came. And the eighth day was called Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And this is what we're talking about now. Vayihi b'chodesh harishon. And so it was in the first month. Bashona hashenit, in the second year. Which day of the month? Be'echad l'chodesh, on the first day of the month. Also known as Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Hukam ha-mishkan. The Mishkan was established. V'tono, we learned in a braisa. Oisa yoim, not al esra torois. That day took for itself 10 crowns. In other words, there was 10 extraordinary anniversaries on that day. What are those 10 different things? Says the Gemara, that on this very special day, it was number one, Rishon Lemaise Bereshis. It was the first day of the week. That's a special day. That was the day of Ayyar, the day when creation began. Okay, let's do this count together. So that's one. Second is Rishon Linisiyim. What does that mean? The first 12 days of Nisan were celebratory days in which the Nisiyim, the princes of the Jewish people, represented their tribes and brought inaugural offerings. And by dint of these inaugural offerings, the Mishkan was established as the permanent place or location or mechanism or envelope or convention for the Shekhinah, for the Divine Presence, which would continue to rest and reside amongst Am Yisrael for posterity. Even after the Mishkan was no longer, even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem's presence continues to reside within us, and that is the reason that we continue to celebrate these first 12 days of Nisan for all time. How do we celebrate these 12 days of Nisan? We change our prayer order. We don't say Tachnon. And other things which are not done during festive days are not done during these 12 days. And each day we traditionally read the verses that correspond to that offering. And we say, oh, maybe I'm from this tribe. And maybe I'm from that tribe. And if I'm from this tribe, then I should send, then this is my special time. Or maybe I'm the next tribe. And each day we say a prayer. And sometimes you could have illumination or inspiration from a number of different tribes even. Because you could be like the iCloud linked up to different tribes also. So we say it each and every day of these 12 days. Okay? What was the first day in which the Nesiim came? When did the first Nasi, who was Nachshon ben Aminadav from the tribe of Yehuda, when did he bring his offering? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, so that's the second crown. Crown number one, it was Sunday, first day of the week. Crown number two, Rishon l'Nesiim. Crown number three, Rishon l'Kehuna. Because up until this point, who was supposed to be the Kohen? The Bechorim, really. The firstborns, but they lost that privilege. And Moshe never really is a Kohen. He goes through the motions for those 7 days. And there's a question what exactly his status was, but he wasn't a typical Kohen. He wasn't wearing Kohen's clothes. When a Kohen doesn't wear his clothes, he's not a Kohen. So when was the first day that Kahuna set in, which is incidentally something that continues for posterity? When did it set in? You got it. Rosh Chodesh, Nisan. That's three. Next thing is Rishon LaAvodah. It was the first of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean, the service in the Beis HaMikdash? It means that was the day that they brought offerings. But they brought offerings before. Ha, the Sfas Emes says. But they didn't bring the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid was first brought only on that day. And according to the Ravid, pardon me, that's the Ravid's opinion. According to the Sfas Emes' opinion, he says before it was just for practice. They were just practicing. When did it really set in? When was it really formal? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, by the way, you could ask the question, did they not bring an Ola at Har Sinai? Did they not bring a Korban at Har Sinai? Yes, they did bring a Korban at Har Sinai. However, one could argue that this would prove the opinion of Rabbi Beit Shammai, who says that was not a Korban Tamid, but Ola Tri'iyah. It was when you see the presence of Hashem. So when you come on Yom Tov, you have to bring a Korban. So they brought none of the Yom Tov. Okay, so it's Rishon LaAvodah, to the formal service that takes place daily afterwards, first day. No, what are we up to? That's four. Number five, Rishon LiYiridat HaEsh. In the first Beis HaMikdash, daily on a daily basis, they would see a fire descending from heaven. When's the first time a fire ever descended from heaven? Shchodesh Nisan. What else is it first to? Rishon LeChilas Kodshim. When were Kodshim formally eaten? Kodshim means when you eat part of the Korban, and when you eat the Korban, it's efficacious. As it says, HaKoyanim Eichelim, Obaylim Eskapim. The Koyanim eat, and then the people who brought the Korban are able to obtain pardon and atonement. So this is the first time they ate Kodshim. The Koyanim were in Koyanim before. It's the first time they ate Kodshim. Rishon, he says it's the first of Shikun Shechina. The first time the Shechina comes to the Jewish people. Vasuli Migdash, God says, make me a Migdash, v'shachanti betocham, I will dwell amongst them. But he didn't dwell amongst them. When did Hashem's presence come to them? Only later on the eighth day. Right? Bayom HaShemini. First day of Nisan. Rishon Levarech Es Yisrael. We'll talk about this in a moment. The first time Aaron gives blessings to the Jewish people, Birchat Kohanim. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Rishon LeYisrael Bamot. This is the first time it was prohibited to bring an offering in a private way. When we brought the first Korban, first national Korban, anybody remember what Korban that was? It's not a trick question. It's a very easy answer. The very first Korban we brought as a nation. What Korban was that? The Korban Pesach. Where do we bring the Korban Pesach? In Mitzrayim. Well, there's a medrash that says they went there. It's so miraculously. But in Mitzrayim. Was there Mishkan? Was there an official altar? Had to bring a Korban. That was Heter Bamas. You were allowed to bring your own private offerings. Incidentally, later on in Eretz Yisrael, there were pockets of time when there was Heter Bamot, when you were allowed to bring your own private offering. And of course, in the generations before, people brought their own private offerings. Noach brings offerings. Adam brings offerings. Cain, Hevel, the whole history is replete with offerings. Avram builds many Mizbechot. Yitzchak builds Mizbechot that brings offerings. Yaakov brings offerings. But that was all Bamot, that's all private offerings. When did it become, prohibited, that you can no longer bring offerings? When did that happen? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rishon L'Chadashim means it's the beginning of months, right? We have this idea that Nisan is the first month, and since Nisan is Rishon L'Chadashim, so now Ravi Chavivi says, since this was the first day of Nisan of that year, so what was it? It was Chad B'Shabbat. Which day of the week was it? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Second year. Which day of the week was it? You know this. We just said it.
Shabbat.
No, Sunday. It took 10 crowns. What was one of the 10 crowns?
The first day of creation.
The first day of creation known in English as Sunday. So Rav Chavivi says, it turns out that this Rosh Chodesh Nisan took place on a Sunday. And now Rav Chavivi comes and asks a mighty question. So he says, how could this be? The Ishtakad, last year, when was Rosh Chodesh? It was Ba'arba B'dalet B'Shabbat. It was the fourth day of Shabbat. It was Wednesday. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa Achere Meimrim, Ein Ben Atzeres La'atzeres. There isn't but from one Shavuot to the next Shavuot. And there isn't Ve'ein Ben Rosh Hashanah. L'Rosh Hashanah, Ela Dalet Yomim B'Vad. There can only be, there would be a four-day gap. In other words, that Rosh Hashanah, Shavuot will always come out 4 days after in the week. If it came out on Sunday, well, it can't be on Sunday, actually. It'll be on Monday, when would it be? The next week will be Thursday. So in that case, the Ima is Hashanah Muberes, if it's like the Chachamim say, that this was a leap year, so then it should be Chamish Yom in 5 days. Not 4 days, but 5 days. And in that case, if that was the case, Havel Eresh Yarcha, the year. So then the first day of year should be when? Maile Shabbata. The first day of year should have been on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. And Yei Eresh Yarcha, the Sivan. If Rosh Chodesh of Iyar was on Friday, so then the Rosh Chodesh Sivan would be on Shabbos, and this is a problem for everybody, because if Rosh Chodesh Sivan was Shabbos, according to the Chachamim, the sixth day would be on Thursday. According to Rabbi Yossi, the seventh day would be on Friday. But the problem is the Torah was given on Shabbos, and nobody says it was given on the eighth day of Sivan. So this is a problem across the boards. Nobody is satisfied now. This is Rav Chavivi's question. Rav Chavivi says, based on the Braisa that says you're always going to have a four-day difference, doesn't work. Doesn't work, he says. Make the simple calculation. The simple calculation is that if Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a year later, was on Sunday, that means which day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan the year before? It had to be on 4 days before, Sunday, go back, Shabbos, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. So it had to be on Wednesday. So he proves from the fact that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year was on Sunday, that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the first year was on Wednesday. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the first year was on Wednesday, so then when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Wednesday, when was Rosh Chodesh Iyar? On Friday, 2 days later. If Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Friday, when was Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Rosh Chodesh Sivan, he says, is going to be on Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Sivan is Shabbos, then in that case, we have Akasha, Bein L'Rabbi Yossi, and Bein L'Rabbanan. So the Gemara answers that you decided that with all the extra days, you have 50 weeks and 4 days. So you decided that's going to be, but that's only in a year of Kisidron. L'das Abiyasi, Shiva Chaseidon. According to Abiyasi, that year they made not 6 months that were 29 days and 6 months that were 30 days, but they said 27 months would have 29 days. There is a calculation like that. There are certain months which only get a 30th day every few years. For example, the 30th day of Cheshvan. Doesn't always happen. So Rabbi Yossi says there was 7 months that year. And because there was 7 months that year, so therefore, it was only a year and 3 days, which means the first Rosh Chodesh wasn't Wednesday, the first Rosh Chodesh was Thursday. To which, that's how Rabbi Yossi responds. So what do the Chachamim say? Ula das Rabbanon. The Rabbanon say, Shemayne Chaserim. There were 8 months that had only 29 days in that first year. And only 4 months that actually had 30 days. And in that case, the first Rosh Chodesh was not Wednesday, but the first Rosh Chodesh would be on Friday. And therefore, the actual Rosh Chodesh was on Monday of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And that way, we have now reconciled this big Moab of a bomb question, which seemed to say that it's not according to Rabbi Yossi, that it's not according to Rabbanan. I say, it's not conclusive. Because it doesn't always go exactly like that. The years are not always considered. It's not always 50 weeks and 4 days. 50 weeks and 4 days is only if 6 months like this and 6 months like this. But we borrow. And we extend. The years go back. Sometimes the year goes 1 day extra. Sometimes the year 1 day less. Sometimes 2 days less. And because we're going back and forth all the time, which is exactly, by the way, the order we use. This is not just like pulled out of a hat. Oh, 8 months we're missing. This actually is the order we use. So because it's actually the order we use, it works out. It actually works out. So therefore, the Gemara proves that this question is not a question. You kind of get that? This is pretty brilliant, huh? This is where you think in the Gemara you just learn how to be a Jewish lawyer, you can be a Jewish accountant also. Now, I want to share with you two interesting things. Since we're on the subject already, I want to share with you actually three interesting things about this business of Rosh Chodesh being, of Nisan being the day that took 10 crowns. There's a very famous question that's asked. There was a number of other things that happened on this day, and it's not mentioned here. It's not mentioned here. In fact, Rabbi Levi says there were 8 Torah portions given on that day, and it's not mentioned. We don't mention the fact, for example, the parsha of ritual impurity, and the parsha of Acharei Mayis, and the parsha of the mitzvah of the prohibition of drinking wine. These are various things which only began that day. How can we mention these 10 things? This is the anniversary of these 10 things, anniversary of many other things. It's a very special day. It turns out like 18 special things happened that day. So the Maharsha's answer is like this. The Maharsha says that this day is all about the oneness of God. And he said we only count the 10 things that reflect the oneness of God. And he goes through the 10 things like this. He says, what was the first thing? The first thing was Nachshon ben Aminadav. What did Nachshon ben Aminadav do? He was the first Nasi.
He was the one
who jumped in the water. What did he demonstrate?
He demonstrated
absolute faith in Hashem. He said, Hashem Echad. It could be a raging sea, nothing stands in my way. He jumped into the water, and therefore, since he demonstrated his belief in Hashem Echad, that's why it says, Nasi Echad LaYoyim. That's why it says, one Nasi. He's the Nasi of Echad, because he represented faith.
Okay.
So he was Miyachad Shemesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Mekadashem Shemayim. The second thing is Rishon LeKuhuna. What's Rishon LeKuhuna? It says that Aaron HaKohen is the Kohen Gadol. How many Kohen Gadols do we have? Single. One God, one Kohen Gadol. Okay. The next thing was the first thing of Avodah. What's Avodah? Avodah is we serve a korban only to Hashem. Zaveich l'lehim yochram. I mean, how to bring a korban to any other gods. We don't believe in pantheism and multiple gods. We worship only one God, Avodah. That bespeaks the idea of the oneness of God. The next thing is the concept of Yiridas Ha'esh, the fire came down. Seeing the presence of Hashem, seeing Hashem intervene in what seems to us to be an independent reality, what does that remind us of? The oneness of Hashem. It's all Hashem's will. Okay. The next thing is Achilas Kodshim. Achilas Kodshim means, it says a person who wants to become, to cleave onto the Shekhinah. How do you cleave onto the Shekhinah? How do you increase your faith? By eating Kodshim. Just like, I will go on a limb and say, just like eating matzah, nourishes our faith. Kodshim nourishes our belief in one Hashem. Okay. The next thing is the Shekhinah be Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu begged Hashem. He said, "V'neflino ani va'amcha, let us be the only ones. We want to be the one. Don't have any other children. Have other. He's created the image of God. But one Am Yisrael. What did Hashem say? Yes, my Shekhinah is only amongst the Jewish people. One God in heaven, Yisrael goy echad baretz. One nation of Israel here on earth. Okay. What's the next thing? The Rishon Levarech es Yisrael. To give a blessing to Am Yisrael. That's negiah to the Inyan of Achdus Hashem. How do we know? Because Bilam was the idolater, came to take away the blessings. Hashem says, no, it doesn't work like that. The blessings I gave are absolute, that's the oneness of Hashem. Then the Marshal says, Isur Bamais. Isur Bamais is clearly of the oneness of Hashem. Hashem says, I have one base, HaMikdash, and that's all, and you can do whatever you want all over the place. And then he says, the idea of Nisan. Do you know what the zodiac of Nisan is? You don't know? Pisces is Adar. The fish is an Adar. What's Nisan?
Taurus.
No. It's called Teleh in Hebrew. The sheep. Aries. Taurus is a bull. So Aries, what's so special about that? Who did the Egyptians worship? The sheep. When did we go out of Mitzrayim? When we slaughtered the sheep. And we said that the month of Nisan is a month not that in which the sheep reigns, but a month in which Hashem reigns always. And that represents the idea of the month which is miyuchad, the month which is specially designated for the concept of Hashem's miracles. So the Rebbe asks a question about this Gemara. The Rebbe says, one second, if you're going to tell me as the Esla Torahs that are connected to the Beis HaMikdash, I understand everything except for two. Except for two. Which two don't fit? He says, well, the two that don't fit is the idea of Rishon L'Maaseh Bereishis, first day of the month. What does that have to do with the Mishkan? You want to tell me the first day of Kahuna, first day of Nisim, the first day to brought the carbon, the first day is a Kohen, the first day to have a Veda, the first day the fire comes down, the first day you eat Kachim, the first day to Shechina, the first day of blessings. All Mishkan connected. First day of the week? What does that connect to the Mishkan? First day of the week is around a long time before the Mishkan. First month? That was a year before the Mishkan. So what's the connection? So the Rebbe said like this. The tachlis of the Mishkan, the ultimate fruition purpose of the Mishkan is v'asuli migdash, v'shchanti b'seichel. And what does that mean in the language of Chazal, the famous Medrash Tanchum of Parshas Nasai, the idea of lasis leizbarich dira betachtoinim, that Hashem asks for a dwelling place here on this earth. Ah, this idea of dwelling place here on this earth, and so there's two things. Number one, a dira means like a place you're comfortable, where Hashem's presence is felt, and we're betach toinim, in the lowest world. Okay, and when did Hashem create that lowest world? On Sunday. It's the beginning of creation. The whole purpose of creation, Hashem's Shechina should be there. So what do you mean it's not connected to the Mishkan? Of course it is. And then the Rebbe says, let's talk about the idea of month of Nisan. What's the idea of Nisan? The idea of Nisan is all about the gilui, a revelation of godliness. Like we say that the month of Nisan is connected to the concept not only Chodesh, but also of Chidesh. The idea of that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly being mechadesh, constantly bringing, so to speak, the world into existence, and there's a new revelation. There's novelty, there's newness. It doesn't get old. It's the month of Nisan. That is the Mishkan. That means the Shekhinah is constantly among us. And the last thing I want to address is this business of Aaron HaKohen blessing us. The famous question is that this mitzvah does not actually show up till the next book, till the second parsha of the fourth book in Parshas Nasi. And Rashi goes ahead and says, Birchas Kohenim, Yivarechecha, Yor Yisa. Why does it say Yivarechecha, Yor Yisa, which are the first words of the three stanzas of Birchat Kohenim? Why doesn't he just say Birchat Kohenim? It's self-understood. Why didn't Aaron's sons go to join him? All the Kohenim, it's not just the Kohen Gadol thing, all the Kohenim are supposed to bless. So the Rebbe says, the truth is, this was not Birchat Kohenim. Aaron knew about the Birchat Kohanim. He had not yet been commanded, but Aaron's hope for the Jewish people was that their efforts would be met with success. And so he said, Yivarechecha. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you. He should actualize his presence amongst you. Yared, his presence should shine amongst you. Yisa, he should forgive your sins. But this wasn't actually Birchat Kohanim. So it comes out when the Gemara says it was Rishon LeBracha, it was not the first official time Birchat Kohanim was given. The official Birchat Kohanim only takes place later, but technically speaking, it was the first time a Kohen bless the Jewish people using these words. At any rate, where are we now? After all this discussion, we still have a dispute between the sages and between Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan. The Rabbanan say the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. Everybody agrees the Torah was given on Shabbat. And the cross-examination will continue. Want to turn off the thing?